Want to thank everybody first off here on Leaving the Ring who's been pledging with us on our Patreon. Much appreciated. Please continue. If you haven't, you know, give it a shot. Pledge with us. $1, $5, whatever you want. We want to keep producing these shows. We want to bring the best content that we can to our audience, our listeners. So if you haven't pledged with us, please do. And if you are, thank you very much. It's much, much appreciated.
Damas y caballeros,
welcome back, fight fans. This is your host, Dave Duenz, here on Leave the Ring. It's a special edition. We're going to be revisiting one of the best flyweight unification fights that happened back in 2010 between Ivan Ironboy Calderon versus the Aztec Warrior Giovanni Segura. One of the reasons why I'm bringing up this interview is because we have a library of interviews that we've done throughout the, 8-9 years of us being on air here on the Leaving the Ring Network. So I thought this would be a good addition, is to revisit interviews that really have been kind of forgotten and fallen through the cracks of all the great interviews that we've done throughout the history of Leaving the Ring. And I thought, because of the spirit of the Superfly card, Roman Gonzalez is going to be rematching the only guy that handed him a defeat, which is Sor Rungnify. Also on the undercard, which a lot of folks are excited about, you have Carlos Cuadros versus Juan Francisco Estrada. This is a great way of revamping this interview to either new listeners of Leaving the Ring or to the soldiers of Leaving the Ring who's been with us through thick and thin. You know, I thought this would be a fun way as well because, as you know, as a fight fan, we always want to have something to the lead up to the fight. If you're barbecuing with your friends and you're bringing in like a new person that's not really a fight fan yet, is still kind of hesitant of becoming a boxing head, this is a great way of introducing them to a flyweight. Because most folks, when they think about flyweights, they go like, ah, little guys, you know, I'm not really sure. But you want to show out through history, the little guys, the little giants of the sport have produced some of the best and epic wars in the ring throughout history. And Calderon and Segura didn't disappoint. They really lived up to the epic war that they produced for us. Not just once, you know, I mean, they fought twice, but the first one obviously is always the best. The second, the rematch, doesn't live up to it. So I thought this would be fun if, you know, if you have a chance and before you watch, you tune in on HBO to watch the Superfly card, or you're getting ready to go to the StubHub, you could play this interview at the same time, play the interview. You could watch Calderon versus Segura and you can hear the breakdown that both men do about each other leading into this fight. And it's actually eerie to see that they both kind of said what they were going to do and they both kind of predicted how the fight was going to go. Obviously, the fight went one way for one person and the other way went wrong for the other guy. So what made this fight really special was that Segura was a guy that didn't have a deep amateur background. He only had 12 fights under his belt in the amateur rankings. And he was set to go in with one of the best fighters at the time, Ivan Calderon out of Puerto Rico, who a lot of folks were thinking, even though he was up in age, 35 years old, his legs looked like they were getting a little slow. In his last fight, he had been dropped. He really didn't have a lot of rounds in the couple of fights leading into this one because of headbutts, that he should still be able to outbox and outmaneuver and outskill the less experienced Segura. But instead, we end up getting a great fight between the two. And me and Gabriel Montoya, my co-host, we both were excited because this was Calderon really didn't need to face Segura. But being that he wanted to be the only undefeated Puerto Rican to come out of the island, he chose to continue on with his career and face one of the most feared punchers in the flyweight division, by far one of the biggest punchers since Michael Carbajal was around. And Calderon got in there, and it ended up producing one of the best memorable flyweight fights. So we're hoping that the Superfly card, which I think we all know, it's going to leave some very memorable moments, great moments, and I think it's recorded as one of the best flyweight cards put together. So without further ado, here goes the interview that we held and that we ended up conducting, myself and Gabriel Montoya, my co-host, back in 2010, between Ivan Ironboy Calderon and Giovanni Segura.
Hi, this is Giovanni Segura, and you're on Living on the Ring Radio. Who do you got?
Man, one of the best in the world right here in the flyweight division. Ivan, you know, we were talking about you a little earlier, and we were applauding you because, to me, you're taking a fight that really, honestly, you could have just avoided and not get in the mix with. Why that choice? I mean, you're pound-for-pound best. You could finish your career without fighting this cat right now.
Yeah, but I want to show the people that I'm the best fighter. They don't mind that I don't got no power punch. I just want to show the people that a boxer could be a puncher. And I need to fight somebody with a good name. He got a name, and everybody in Puerto Rico wanted me to see me unified in title.
It seems like you've been having this really bad aura of getting headbutts. You know, you've been getting these headbutts, you know, and it just seems like you haven't been able to get those rounds in. Are you a little bit concerned, and is that maybe one of the reasons why you got dropped in the second round in your last fight?
No, I believe that he got me good with a right hand moving, and when he hit me, he didn't hit me with a good power punch. He just put his hand through, and I was just walking right to his right hand, and I just felt, but he didn't hurt me in that moment.
Ivan, this is Gabe Montoya. In Segura, you've got a guy that's pretty much your polar opposite. You're a pure boxer. He's pretty much a pure brawler. What do you see when you look at him? Do you even look at tapes when you're studying an opponent?
Not really, but in this kind of, like, they was talking about this for a long time, and one day I just saw the fight, and I saw him fight, like, twice. And when I saw him fight, I saw a lot of things that I could do good in that fight. I know he's a good puncher. He hit hard, but he's a fighter that he just keep on throwing crazy punches, and he gets tired from the fourth round down.
The guy like that, he almost reminds me a little bit of like Ricardo Mayorga. You know, he's relentless,
right.
Throws from odd angles. Is it hard to prepare for a guy like that?
No, not really. You just gotta prepare physical and do a lot of work in the street for the air. If you got air to fight 12 rounds going down, you don't get tired, you're not going to have no kind of problem with this kind of fighters.
Hey, well, Ivan, let me ask you this. Is this more to you, you know, I'm the boxer, I'm facing not another boxer, but more of a street brawler?
Yeah. Just because, like, people always say that, like, I don't have the power punch, that they think that every time I'm going to fight a fighter and they got a record, like, 20 with 18 knockouts, they always see me like I'm gonna have trouble with that kind of person, and I always say, why you gonna hate what you can't see?
Now you've been in this Mexican rivalry before, you know. Carras was a big puncher, but it looks like Giovanni has a little bit more of that rawness and kind of sparks up a little bit more interest, not with just the Mexican fans, but it seems like with all the fans around the world. Does that kind of get you going and blood-wise going like, okay, this is a fight that I've been looking for?
Yeah, I just want somebody with a name, that somebody that if I win is going to put me in another division. You know, like when I fought Hugo Casares in Puerto Rico and Mexico, he put me in another division because he beat four Puerto Rican and he was like undefeated. And when I came in, a strong fighter, 5'5", and I'm 5 feet. And, you know, and a lot of people thought I was going to lose that fight. And the way I fought him and the way I beat him twice, a lot of people started saying nobody could beat Ivan that way. Now they're seeing Giovanni Segura, and now a lot of people thinking that he's the one who's going to beat me. He's the stronger one. He's going to take me out my career of undefeated.
Now, a guy like Giovanni is one of those pressure, come forward. He doesn't stop trying. We've seen that from him. But in the same light, he has not been, he hasn't been as active like you. From the last time he lost after 8 months, he's only compelled 14 rounds, including the Ramos. That's 18 rounds. Now, when you get a guy that hasn't been that active, what do you do? Do you work the body, or do you just stay composed and let him slip to tire out by punches?
That's the one. I just let him throw everything that he got and trying to don't lose the round, you know. But I'm going to just let him throw, make him miss a lot. And then from the fourth round down, keep on putting pressure and putting him to walk back and getting all crazy on top of me. Because I know them kind of people, he always throw power punches. And when you throw a lot of power punches and you don't hit your opponent, you throwing all away your energy. And that's the way he always, the day he lost, the first fight he lost, that was the way he lost. He got tired, and when he gets tired, he don't got nothing to do.
You know, think it's a sign of your experience that you know that not every punch needs to be hard, that to learn the off-speed pitch, you know, to kind of throw a little less hard and then kind of mix it up?
Yeah, you know, you throw a little bit slow, you just let at least the hand loosen where you know you're going to hit the – you know you're going to hit and don't miss. That's when you throw the power punch.
You know, you got Miguel Cotto, and then you got Juan Manuel Lopez, you know, who Lopez is starting to be very beloved. And then you're kind of in the background. You know, it doesn't seem like that a lot of fight fans are recognizing some true greatness here. By fighting Giovanni and defeating him, I mean by shutting him out, is that going to put you another plateau as a Puerto Rican fighter among the Puerto Ricans?
Maybe, because at least a lot of people that really knows about boxing, they like my style. They always say, that's really boxing. That's the way it is. Mm-hmm. Hit and don't get hit. But people that's just seeing boxing, they just like to see and knockouts, they're not going to understand until they start seeing what's a good boxing, what's a really show in a boxing. And at least in Puerto Rico, I already got used to the people in Puerto Rico to see me box, and a lot of people like to see me fight the way I fight because they like, I don't bore the people the way I fight because I move back and I keep on throwing. I don't run like people trying to say that I'm a runner. I just move to don't get hit, but I be throwing my punches and connecting because they knew that I was a hard boxer to hit. So they was trying to leave me for the end to, like, with the career, they like, I know more, it's time to fight Ivan. Ivan's the money man. So that's why me and Segura are fighting now. But I've been trying to fight Segura a long time ago. But they're trying to say I never wanted to fight him. This is business. They just wanted me to fight in Mexico. But in Mexico, if they're going to pay me $50. And in Puerto Rico, they're going to pay me $100. So I'm going to stay right here in Puerto Rico fighting.
Absolutely. I mean, you're the champion.
They don't
right?
understand that. Yeah, he's a champion. I'm the champion. But everybody knows when you fight in Mexico, they're not going to pay the same way they're going to pay you in Puerto Rico.
At your age, you know, you're 35 now. What, you know, how long do you think you can keep fighting? And two, in terms of conditioning, do you do anything different? Or have you refined it? Or do you do something more now?
For real, I see a lot of people talking about sometimes the age. Look at Juan is going to fight Rafael Marquez, and he's 35. Nobody's saying nothing about his age because, like, he's a warrior. He always been fighting strong, so nobody's not even thinking about his age. But I believe my age, it don't mean nothing. I feel young. I look at the last fight I did. I show a lot of people I still got legs. And the thing is, I turned pro when I was 26 years old. I turned my first professional when I first with the title, I was like 28 years old. You know, I haven't get a lot of punches. And I've been seeing fight a lot, Bernard Hawking, 45, 40, and they still fighting. It's how you feel, how your energy is still feeling about boxing. When I feel like I don't feel like fighting no more, that's when I say my age is already touching me and I don't want to keep on fighting.
What keeps you going at this point? I mean, is it just a matter of you want to prove everybody wrong?
Nah, I just keep on going because I gotta maintain myself, and I still like boxing. I still like the way people treat me in Puerto Rico, being the champ. And now, right now, and breaking the records, the 18 defense, more than Tito and Wilfredo Gomez, that's keep on giving me more energy, keep on showing the people that I can do more. And I want to go up to 112, trying to get another third title, and then that's when I'm going to say I'm going to retire.
Nice.
And try to retire undefeated because nobody in Puerto Rico has done it.
Really? No one has yet?
No, not in Puerto Rico.
That's awesome, man. Well, good luck to you. Good luck to you with that.
Can you afford to make a mistake with this kid?
Yeah. Everybody makes mistakes. Nobody's perfect. But
can you afford it, though?
Yeah. Like I happened in the last fight. I made a mistake. I put my hands down. He caught me with a right hand. Like I told a lot of people, if you drop me, you're going to knock me out. Because if I stand up, you ain't going to touch me no more with that same hand. Skill and show a lot of people that I know how to survive.
What is it about Giovanni right now, the Mexican warrior, the Azteca warrior? What is it about him that you respect? And what is it about him that you don't respect inside that ring?
I mean, I respect his power punch, you know. I can't say I've seen him fight, touch people before. I respect his power punch. But the only thing I don't respect is his style. You know, he got a crazy style, and I think I could do good with that style.
Hey, brother, I wish you all the luck. I'm definitely going to be watching. I think it's a great matchup, a great fight. I think you're going to fulfill a lot of us fans that are just salivating to see a great fight happen. And there you go. Iron Boy. Ivan Calderon, you know, I like you got to say, the only thing I was not agreeing with him, Gabriel, was the fact that he thinks he can afford a hiccup, you know?
Yeah, I think with Segura, man, yeah, you can't screw up. I think you get one mistake and that's it. He's not only a power puncher, he's a good finisher. I would agree with you, dude.
You just can't sleep on him, and I think we got him on the line right now. Giovanni, are you there, brother?
I'm right here.
When's the last time we seen a flyweight with power like you? I was kind of putting you as Michael Carbajal.
Yeah.
And one of those kind of guys that could just turn the fight around, you know. You pack a lot of power in your hands. But, Giovanni, what are you seeing about Calderon right now that you think you could take advantage of? Are you looking at him 35 years old? I'm the younger buck. I can take advantage of the boxer?
You mentioned Carbajal. I believe you're right. We haven't seen him. A fighter with power a long time ago, but the difference between me and Carbajal that I mean he was Olympian guy, had all the experience. I didn't have the experience. I only have 12 amateur fights starting at the age of 20. That's why you see a rough, discontrolled Giovanni Segura. I wish I could have those skills. You know, I wish I could move like Calderon, have that movement, everything. You know, but I mean so far. I'm thankful with God, you know. He gave me this gift, the power, and I'm learning. I'm still in the process, and I'm learning, and just anxious to get there.
Do you go in with a strategic plan, you know, Giovanni, or do you go in with just a, I gotta land, I have to cut this ring off, and I gotta land because this is the only way I'm gonna be successful.
You know what? I can't tell you. Exactly what kind of style I have, because I don't consider I even have a style, you know. I just try to do as best I can, you know. I try to box a little bit. I try to do everything I could, you know. I just go with the flow. I go how the fighter takes me, how the fighter gets there. But once that bell ring, you make sure, I'll make sure there's going to be a fight in the ring. I just love, as a fan, I pressure myself to be an exciting fighter who everybody wants to watch, who I want to watch.
I'm curious, with a guy like him, with Calderon, who's going to be moving, do you have to do anything different? Is it a matter of you just making every second of every moment count?
There's two styles, a boxer versus a puncher. There's no secrets of my game plan. There's no secrets of his game plan. His game plan is going to be move around and not get any punch. My game plan is to go for the hunt. My game plan is to go for the hunt. So there's only one solution for me. It's be in my top of shape and make sure I'm going to throw as many punches as I can, make sure I'm going to have those legs to follow him, and it's going to be like Tom and Jerry, you know, just chasing and running, and I'm ready for that. So people tell me, have you seen Calderon's latest fight? Man, I've seen Calderon since before I even started training boxing. I seen him fight. There's no secret of him. I know all those. Since 2000 and on, I know the fighters. If you tell me somebody before that, I just know, you know, what I used to get watch on TV when I was young, you know? I understood the language of boxing. So I think that helped me a little bit. Once I started training, I had the idea how to manipulate my way of boxing to get over with it, you know, to come out with my hands up.
Is that so much just everything that goes into it, you know, from the what the trainers say in the corner to the referee? Is that what exactly do you mean by the language of boxing?
When you see a fighter like Calderon, like Mayweather, you know, like Gamboa, like they have different styles, you know, and you have to know and understand how to be able to see what's the weakness of the fighter, what's the solution for a fighter like that, what to do. If you have no idea and you're expecting somebody to come and tell you, it's a little bit more hard for you and the trainer. But mm-hmm. if you understand what's the game plan, if you don't need to be told too much, with one word, if they tell you, you understand all kinds of stuff, you know. For me, as myself, if you tell me one thing, I'll learn it, and I'll keep on mine. And that's what I learned from boxing, you know. It's how much I can do in boxing, you know. So far, this is a dream come true. I started watching Calderon fighting, you know, on TV, and all of a sudden, I'm fighting him. I'm like, wow, this is crazy.
You said you have to understand of the plan. Do you feel that you have to rush yourself, though, by learning as much as you can, getting in with Calderon, because you're fighting one of the best boxers out there?
Well, look, every fighter that I'm facing, they always come up with the same thing. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you know. Once you get hit by me, it's a different story. It's a way different story because you don't have an idea how much power my hands have until you get up there and get punched anywhere you want to mention, in the gloves, in the shoulders, anywhere. Because I feel them. When I fought Sonny Guajardo and I landed that hand to the body, I was like, oh, baby, you're gone. That's it. I feel it because I feel my punches go inside the body. I feel that, you know, and I feel too strong for this division. You know, I'm so excited because I know I can do a lot of stuff. Right now, my game plan is to get the top shape I can get right now. I'm running. I'm doing a lot of cardio. I'm doing everything I can get to get in there. Right now, I can tell you a game plan. Tomorrow, I can tell you a different game plan. But like I said, I only go with the flow on the fight. I know how to fight southpaw. I know how to fight right hand. So anywhere he runs, I got an answer for every movement, you know? And the question is going to be in the air until that day of the fight. What's going to happen? What's going to happen, you know? All I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be ready to throw as many punches as I can throw for 12 rounds. That's all I can tell you.
We applaud you guys for taking on this fight. You know, Ivan really didn't need to take you on, but he wants to prove he's the best.
Yeah, well, you guys need to give all that credit to Calderon because he was the one who called me. I didn't even care about the purse. I didn't even ask questions, you know, whatever. Just throw that paper, pass it on, and I'll sign it. I don't care. You know, I was just, wow, this is incredible. So, I'm surprised. Hey, Calderon has said that he considers Hugo Casares smarter than me. Whatever. That's good for you. Probably that's why he's taking the fight, you know. He's probably thinks I'm less dangerous than him. Okay, we'll see.
Giovanni, who's the toughest guy or the, you know, from a style point of view that you've ever sparred or fought?
I will say there's three. There's three. I got the chance to spar with Ponce de Leon, con Victor Chinia, and Martin Castillo when he was in his prime, you know. And I have learned a lot from them. And I mean, you got Ponce de Leon, a solid puncher who doesn't let you walk in. He throws a lot of punches. And Victor Chinia with his movements, you know. He just tried to set you up with those crazy moves that he does. It may seem that he's messing around, but at the end of the day, he's trying to set you up to get that shot, you know. And he just wants you to give him that angle. He wants you to give him that angle. He's walking back. He's walking to the sides. But he's ready. He just wants the angle. And we got Martin Castillo, who's right there throwing a lot of punches, ready to find a open spot so he can throw that hook, you know, hook you up and try to make you miss. You know, we got all these kinds of different styles. And so far I have learned a lot from them, a lot, because you figure out the way to get in there and learn your punches, and it's a way different style. And so, for this fight, I think it's not going to look as difficult for me. One, because all my fights, I do the same thing, chase my opponents. So that's why I always practice basically, you know, cutting the ring, try to put up more of my hands, which that's the hardest part, and try to land my punches without being too frustrated myself. You know, when I get there, I got so much power, I just want to, like, come on, I just want to land that one.
Who do you get to get yourself prepared? Do you get a smaller guy, like a guy in the strawweights division, prepare you for Calderon? Do you want a little bit more light-footed, and that's able to box backwards, right?
Yeah, I'm sparring with this Japanese guy, Takashi Okada. It was the Japanese who defeated on the Calderon fight on this Puerto Rican legend guy. This guy, he moves a lot. Well, I make him move a lot too, and you know? I was surprised the way he fought because he's a strong guy. He takes body punches. He takes everything, you know, and he's there. He's a warrior too, you know. When he got to fight that Puerto Rican guy, I even won $100. I'm like, hey, I'll go for my sparring. He's tough. People don't know that he's tough. We try to find people that move. I usually spar with 122, 118 pounders. But right now, like you said, I'm trying to fight somebody light and not focusing a lot and throwing big punches, not trying to hurt my sparring or that. I'm most likely working on my skills to cut the ring and not basically on my power. I'm like I said, I'm preparing myself, my body to have a lot of legs and to throw as many punches as I can.
I wouldn't mind seeing you and Darchinian. I'd like to have seen those sparring sessions, man. How'd that go?
Oh, I'd love to see that.
I'm going to tell you something. The only thing you will hear in that sparring is boom, ba, 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 ba. Power punch. It was crazy. He got me good, but I got him very good, too. You know?
Well, Giovanni, man, hey, I wish you all the luck in the world, brother. It's a fight that I'm very, very excited about it. I think the whole world is really excited about this fight. It's one of these flyweight fights that's been needed, and you guys obviously both signed on the dotted line to give us that. You're providing us a fight to really look forward to.
Yeah, of course. I'm guaranteed the whole fans, I'm going to make it as interesting as I can. I'm going to go there and just have fun, you know, and
absolutely,
just enjoy my party, because everybody's going to be, it's just going to be crazy, man. I'm guaranteeing you an exciting fight, that's for sure.